for all you've done and all you're doing. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read out the New Living Translation, and we're going to go from there. Paul's writing goes, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered together to meet Jesus Christ and how we will gather to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter, supposedly from us." Verse 3. "Don't be fooled by what they say, for the day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He is revealed, the one who brings destruction. Oh, he will be exalted himself and defy everything that people call good, God, and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God." We'll stop there for today because there's a lot going on. I will be the first one to admit, I don't know everything Paul's talking about here. There's so much that is written about Jesus coming back. And if someone says, "I have all the answers," be careful. Because what they preached in the 1980s of Jesus coming back doesn't look like what we have today. What they preach, back in the one time, they go, "Well, there's no way they would be able to mark the entire world to control the world." Remember, the Antichrist and the false prophet will come on the scene. They will sign the 7 years of peace. And then they'll all of a sudden have control. You'll have to get the sign of the beast, either in your forehead or right hand, to either buy and sell. At one time, they're like, that was going to be impossible. But if you look at the technology we have today and everything that's going on today, it's not impossible. Because they already digited and put people in the computer in the largest population country on earth. India and China. They have them under such heavy surveillance that if you go against what they say, they'll deduct you points called the social score. So if you get together, if you go to church, even if it's okay by the government, they'll start deducting you points. If you jaywalk and they catch you because they have cameras everywhere, they'll deduct you points. I'd be out of points in my first walk around the city. I don't use the sidewalks. I don't know. I didn't grow up with sidewalks. So it's still, there's only a few places I use sidewalks in this city. And so the thing about it is that, so I don't have all the answers. So if you come to me and say, "But this is not what this preacher says or that preacher," everybody has a little bit different interpretation about how everything is going to happen at the end days. No one knows. Nobody really knows. Because I guarantee you, you weren't expecting a robot to come in your house and clean your house 10 years ago. You can buy a robot for about $10,000 to $30,000 that will come into your house and they'll keep it clean and take care of your kids. And they actually, and the thing about it, it will learn even more than the basics because it will hook up to the internet while it's sleeping, and it will be reprogrammed to do even greater tasks. Can you imagine that? You come home and you never taught it how to do the dishes or iron your clothes, and now it's doing your dishes and ironing your clothes. So this is not really the direction I want to go, but I'm just telling you that I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to preach what Paul says. So are we going to be raptured before the seven-year tribulation? Is it mid-trib? Is it post-trib? I don't know. to be honest with you. I'm praying that it's pre-trib, to be honest with you. Because I've already been through enough garbage in the last 5 years, 10 years, than I thought I had ever walked through. But at the same time, I'm planning on if we're going to go through it all and believing that God's going to help us through it all. Because if someone says, oh, this is definitely, well, there's word scripture verses that can you can throw at them as well. So I'm not going to say this is, my belief is believing that someday we're going to be raptured, or if you die, you'll be taken up to heaven when Jesus comes back. It's going to happen. We just don't know the day or the hour. If someone goes, oh, it's going to be September 25th, 2026. It's going to happen at 11 a.m. Sell your goods because it's going to happen. Don't listen to them. It won't happen that day or that hour. We know the season. And Paul talks about seasons. Jesus talks about seasons. Did you know how many earthquakes or in volcanoes that were dormant that all of a sudden rose up in the last 2 weeks? At least 12 dormant volcanoes has all of a sudden said, oh, I feel like moving and grooving. That hasn't done anything at all lately. So there's seasons. And guess what? The main thing, are you ready for Jesus to come? That's the main thing. I think that's what Jesus would rather have us focus on. Am I ready at any moment to one, die, or two, get taken out of here? Am I ready? I think that should be the main focus of all end time prophecy, of everything that's going on. Am I ready to meet the maker of my soul? And if you say, well, I'm not sure, you better get ready. I'm not saying hoarding food, having 16 rifles or whatever. I'm not against making sure your family's taken care of. But the main thing is not the physical stuff. The main thing is the spiritual thing. Are you ready for Jesus? See, right now we're in the Christmas Advent. And churches around the nation will have the Advent for the next 4 weeks. And the thing about it, yeah, we know Jesus came. But what about a new Advent? Are you expecting Jesus to come back? We've heard it preached. Jesus is coming back. And it's been so long, people are mocking. Yeah, I heard that before, Pastor. What's taking him so long? Because he doesn't want one to perish. He doesn't want one to die. He doesn't want one to go afterlife without him. That's the reason why he's taking his time. That's the reason why he's saying, hey, I will delay because there's a soul in your family that needs Jesus. That's what this whole, if anything we get out of any message is that, am I ready for Jesus to come or am I ready to die? And also, who's that lost soul I can go win for Jesus? Who can I befriend to just be a friend to them, to show them the love of Christ, to bring them into the kingdom of God? So many times we're like, yeah, I'll go on a missions trip, but we're afraid to go knock on our neighbor's door. Trust me. Because the people across the sea, it's easier to minister to them because they'll never know who I am in a week from now because a new group will come in. But my neighbor will always remember how I treated my wife, how I treated my children, how I am when I get frustrated. Or your family, they remember like, oh man, mom, dad blew their lid because of X, Y, Z. It's harder to live Christ out here with rubbing elbows with one another because so many times people are like saying, hey, if you truly believe in God and what he wants to do in your life, and then you go knock on your neighbor's door and then they see you like getting frustrated over something. Part of it's we're human, but part of it we're afraid to say, hey, I love Jesus. Will you come and be a part of what God's doing? So now we get into God's word. That's just for those. That was free for today. It says here, Paul's writing to to the church. He goes, now, dear brothers and sisters, let me clarify some things. So Paul's already told them about Jesus coming back. He's been there and he talked to them and he said, hey, Jesus is coming and we need to be ready. And so he goes, let's clarify a couple things. Because there's been a rumor going around when he wrote this that Jesus came back already. He hasn't come back yet. All right. And Paul's saying, we got to address this rumor because it's not from me. It's not from God. And he goes, let us clarify these things about the coming of our Lord and about how we're going to gather and meet with him. So the cool thing about it, Jesus is coming back and we're going to be gathered with him. That's all you need to know. If everything else is extra. Okay, so that's the reason why I said, the main thing is that are we ready for him coming back or for us to be gathered with him? Are we ready for that? That's Paul saying, hey, if you get that down, nothing else really matters. And now he goes, verse 2, don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. In other words, Paul's saying here is saying that don't be shaken. Keep your foundation in Christ. Because we've all heard things that we've heard, we're like, I don't think that's in the Bible. You know, like they say, cleanliness is next to godliness. Where's that in the Bible? Okay. But people will quote that as if it's in the Bible, and you're like, huh, I don't think. Or someone, a little child ends up dying, and they go, well, heaven needs another angel. Well, we don't become angels when we die and go to heaven. That's nowhere biblically. We say things because we want to make it easier and more palatable. Unfortunately, a little child has passed away. That's not easy, and that's no fun. And the thing about it is that with that, they don't get wings and they don't fly around and to the tuba or whatever it is. And so the thing about it, we have to be careful about things that people say, even question, even what I preach, take it to God's word. Is this close to what your word says? I try my best to stay within the parameters of the scripture. And so the thing about it, here Paul is talking, and he goes, hey, don't be shaken. Keep the foundation. The thing about it, with an earthquake, the earth is shaking. Some buildings fall over and some stay upright because of the foundation. Or when a storm comes, you know, if a building's built on the sand, it's going to go smash. But it's built on God's foundation of his word, not just some hallucination, but on his word, that we have to keep our foundation. And then he goes, don't be easily shaken or alarmed. Don't be troubled or frightened. Don't be frightened about what people are saying. Did I miss the rapture? Well, I don't think you have. You know, you ever come home and you're like, hey, no one's here? Did I miss something? No, you haven't. Other people are still here. Don't be troubled. Don't be shaken. Keep your mind focused on the things of God. Because the things that will be proclaimed, don't be shaken and alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them. Think about it. Paul is not saying, hey, just be careful, but don't believe them. There's some things that are spoken we're not supposed to believe. Keep it at bay. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision. You ever meet somebody? Yeah, I've been raptured up into the third heaven. I've met a couple people like that in my past. Their visions doesn't line up with the word of God. Their vision, they're saying, oh yeah, I've seen this vision. Jesus is coming back. Well, that's good. I agree with that. But it's going to be in the year 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. You guys remember those books? 85 reasons. Oops, I messed up. 86 reasons. Oops, I messed up again. 87. Then 88. See, the thing about it, people want to say, oh, I had this grandiose, but it doesn't line up with God's word. Don't entertain that. Don't entertain those visions that don't line up with God's word. Get rid of them. Many of those spiritual visions are revelations, or even somebody says, oh, I got this letter, written letter, look. If it's written, man, it has to be true. Just like Abraham Lincoln always says, everything you read on the internet, believe. Really, Abraham? Wow, that's kind of cool, Mr. Lincoln. Our president knew what was going to take place. No, Abraham Lincoln did not say that. Just because it's written doesn't mean it's true. Especially with a lot of technology we have today. And as they say, don't believe your lying eyes. In other words, just because it's on video doesn't mean they actually said it. And the best thing about it, if you see a video or you hear somebody say something and you know the person, go talk to them. Rather than figure it out, say, hey, is this true? Is this what you actually... Because a lot of times, like Paul says, let's clarify things. He goes, doesn't matter. Just keep your mind focused on God. Then verse 3, he goes, don't be fooled by what they say. Don't be fooled by what they say. You ever been fooled by somebody? I have. They say one thing and they keep saying this thing and it's like, I don't know. Don't be fooled. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the best thing about it all. Take it to God in prayer. Say, Lord, is this from you or not? If it's from you, let me embrace it and let's walk in it. If it's not, get rid of it. So don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come. What day is he talking about? The day when Jesus comes back and we get pulled up. This is a few things that will have to take place. All right? So if somebody goes, oh, I know what's going to happen, it better be from the Word of God. Jesus even talks about before the day of the Lord, there'll be all these different signs. Signs of days of Noah, signs of day of Lot, and those type of things. There's those days, and we're living in them. Because there's some weird... Did you know they produced a pill that if you want to live to 150, you can? I don't know about you. 150 years does not entertain me. It doesn't seem it's the way I want to keep living. And so the thing about it, that we always desire to live longer. Living is part of our DNA as all humans. Even back with Adam and Eve, God goes, here's a tree of life. He's given life. It was death and was never part of God's plan at the beginning. He knew it was going to be that way. But he did not set Adam and Eve in there and go, oh, go eat that tree because I want to see you die. No, he's all about life. Sin's all about death. And this pill is not about God. This pill is not about life. It's actually trying to go against what God says. Because we want to be immortal. We want to be superhuman. Because we're created for more than what we walk through. And so Paul's saying here, he goes, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. For the day will not come until there is a great, here we go with the first thing, a great rebellion against God. Anybody notice that lately? There's been a great rebellion against. There's a great revival taking place. It's like a dichotomy of people drawing closer to God and people pulling away from God all at once. It's the craziest thing, because even in the book of James, end of chapter 5, it talks about the latter, the farmer waits for the latter rain for the fall crops, for the late crop. And so there's something about the Holy Spirit falling in the latter days, even the outpouring of His Holy Spirit, according to Joel chapter 3, talks about pouring out His Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 2 and 3 talks about His Holy Spirit being poured out upon all flesh. There's a part of the Holy Spirit drawing people to Him. But at the same time, have you noticed those who used to be close to God are like, I really don't care? How many of us had family members who loved Jesus at one time, and now they don't care about God? They totally turn their back upon Him. And so that's what Paul's saying, that there's a part of that those, because you can't fall away from something that you've never been close to. It's like people say, well, I'm not in love with them anymore. Well, no, you've just probably been hurt a lot, and so you put up this defense because you don't want to be hurt anymore. And so the thing about it is that just like that, we like, pulling away. You know how you keep your fire burning in these last days? You know how you keep the oil? You remember there's those virgins Jesus talks about? How half of them had oil, half of them didn't bring the oil. Keep the oil burning. You know, like the old song we used to sing, I got oil in my lamp to keep me burning, burning, burning. Got oil in my lamp to keep me. You don't know that one either, Lois?
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's an oldie.
And so the thing about it is that we need to keep the oil in our lamp. How do you keep the oil? Keep worshiping. Keep seeking God. Keep praying. Keep reading His Word. And not just that, don't forsake the assembly of believers. Continue. And not just on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but throughout the week. Connect with one another. Be an encouragement to one another. So the thing about it, it says that because there's people I know who were used to be a part of this church have totally turned their back on God. And they'll blame it on, well, the pastor just hurt me. No, that there's a good excuse to do whatever you want to do. Because guess what? You wanted to do sin, but you held them accountable. See, in the church, we don't like the word accountability. You're judging me. No, I'm holding you accountable to what God's word says. Well, you shouldn't judge me because, okay, what am I supposed to do? Just let you go and sin and have eternal damnation without putting roadblocks? No, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying your lifestyle as a professor. I'm not after the world. I'm saying this is in the church. That your lifestyle, you say you are a committed Christian to Christ, follower, and you have a life that is contrary to what God says? That's wrong. Well, you're being mean, Pastor. Okay, I'm being mean. Maybe you should have been disciplined. But so many times, we don't like being held accountable in our walk with Christ. And we love to say, well, I know what God's word says. I had people who says, we don't need counseling. This is people who are living outside marriage. I actually had somebody say this. Pastor, we're going to get married, but we don't want any counseling because the Holy Spirit's our counselor. And they were living together for like 8 years. I'm like, really? Wow, he must not be a good counselor to convict you of living outside of marriage. Now, I get it. The world. Hey, go do the world thing. Sin. Enjoy. I can't help that. But in the church, we as preachers and the Christians and stuff, we have a standard called the Word of God. And we should go after that. And so he goes, don't be fooled, for the day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God. There's a great rebellion against God. A physical, spiritual, emotional rebellion against God. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. Or in some translations, it says the man of sin, or the man of perdition, the man of lawlessness is revealed. This is often equated to the Antichrist being revealed. Every generation has somebody that could fit the mold of the Antichrist. And I'm not talking about the spirit of Antichrist. I'm talking about the physical man of Antichrist. Because there is a spirit of Antichrist that roams throughout the world, because it's those things that oppose God. And I'm not just talking about outside the church. I'm also talking about things inside the church where they say, I'm not doing that. And they're opposing the things of God. That's called the anti-spirit of Christ. Well, God didn't say where they're in the church and they're reading God's word. I don't believe that. Well, it's in God's word. Why don't you believe it? Well, God's word's full of contradictions. No, it isn't. Because the thing about it is that the man of perdition, or we'll talk about that here in a minute, but the man, but the lawless one is revealed. He will be revealed. And at the time, before we get raptured, when is he going to be revealed? We don't know. And the thing about it, it tells us what type of person the Antichrist will be. And some people said, you know, it was the president of Russia back when Gorbachev was the leader of Russia. I heard that. I heard it was Hitler was going to be it. I heard all these people, Mussolini and all these different people, even President Trump, even President Obama is the Antichrist. They might have had a spirit of the Antichrist, but they weren't the Antichrist. Because they didn't fit the bill of everything it says. But he will be revealed. So don't be shocked when he's revealed. And so and then for that day will not come until the God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the one who brings destruction. I like what the New King James says here. It goes, the son of revealed, the son of perdition. It's only used twice in the Bible. It's used in this connotation where the spirit, where the man of the Antichrist will rise up. That means Satan actually dwells in that person. Does anybody else know where the other place it would be revealed? This saying? Judas of Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, was also called the son of perdition. Means son of the damned. He's going to be damned to hell. Because the reason why it was used there, you know what happened to Judas when he went to get the 30 coins to betray Jesus? When he left his Jesus' last supper, it says as he was leaving, or Satan entered him and he left. See, those who are, because I've never met anybody who had Satan inside of them. All right? I've seen people being filled with other ungodly spirits, but I've never met the person who had actually Satan inside of him. Because he'd be called the son of perdition. Because it'd be filled with Satan himself. Because most of the times our battles is not with Satan. Well, Satan's against me. Well, that's true, but most of our battles are against his hitmen. And they're wimps. Satan himself is a wimp, but his hitmen are even wimpier. And so the thing about it is that they're for destruction. And so God's going to reveal that. And then he goes, the Antichrist will exalt himself Doesn't that sound like Satan? Look at me, I'm God. Remember, why was he kicked out of heaven? Because of his pride. Because he wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to be worshipped. Look at me. We were never created to worship, to be worshipped. Why do you think many athletes, many these famed people have an issue? Because we're worshiping them and they were never meant to be worshipped. We were never meant to be worshipped. And Satan, when he comes into our life and we start following his ways, well, look at me. Oh, I'm the greatest. How many times have you heard somebody called the GOAT? Greatest of all time. And when we worship them. Wow, they're the greatest basketball player. They're the greatest car racer. They're the greatest jockey. They're the greatest tennis player. They're the greatest ping pong player. They're the greatest whatever. Even in the church, we'll start, even in the Bible, we'll say, wow, Moses was the greatest. Well, no, he was as human as we are. Wow, the Old Testament prophets were great. Not really. They just obeyed God. We were never, and we were meant not to be worshipped, but we're meant to worship something. We're always meant to worship. What are we going to worship? Some people worship what they call Mother Earth. Oh, God save Mother Earth. And I'm all for taking care of the environment. But when you go from taking care of something to worshiping it, is wrong. And just like taking care of your family is healthy, but when you start worshiping your family, that's wrong. See, there goes from, okay, I'm going to be a good steward, I'm going to take care of these things, but then all of a sudden, you start worshiping. Wow, I got a nice car, and you take care of the car, which we should. Or I have a nice house, we should take care of our house. We should take care of our stuff, but we shouldn't be in slave to it to worship it. One reason why we don't have a pet, because the pet will train me. You think you got that pet trained? I don't know how many times I've heard somebody go, I got to get going home because the dog got to get out. Oh, you mean the dog trained you? No, I trained. Oh. See, people even worship. And the thing about it, with today technology, they're actually bringing voices of the dead back into a hologram so it looks like you're talking to your deceased loved ones. Sorry, that is wicked and evil and wrong. And they're doing those things. And it's just crazy. And so here he goes, he goes, look at me. I'm greater than God. He'll defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. In other words, he'll go, you know something? I'm greater than all the small gods, big gods, any gods out there. I'm greater than that. That's what he's going to do. He goes, come worship me because I'm God. I'm going to set my feet up here. I'm going to sit in the throne room of God. And I really don't care. You're going to worship me. And that's when it goes, when he sits, that's the reason why another temple will be built, so he can sit in it. He'll sit there and say, look at me! I am God! And all religions will come together. All the false religions. True Christians who are serving Jesus will know that's the wrong God. And the question is, are you willing to live and are you willing to die for the true Jesus? And so, the thing about it, I want to encourage you. Like, well, this wasn't really encouraging. But yeah, it is. Because we're a day closer to Jesus coming back. I've been telling people, like, I went and got the donuts and stuff. I go, guess what? We're a day closer to spring. You think about it, we are. Then you can honestly say, well, we're way closer to next winter too. But we won't go there. We can say, wow, we're getting closer to this and that. I guarantee you, we're getting closer to Jesus of his redeemed. Say so. And Paul is saying, hey, don't be fooled by what you hear. And don't let the spirit of fear come in and rob you from what I have for you. Don't let fear come in and take what God has done in you. Walk in power. Walk in anointing. Walk in the authority. Because that's what who you are. That's what you have. Declare the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Declare the anointing of God. Declare that you're an overcomer. Declare these things. Because there's the day and time when we might not be able to meet like we're meeting now. But you'll always have the Word of God inside of you. Growing and being strong. That's the reason why I said get an old Bible. Something that was written back in the 60s. Some of these modern Bibles are... It's easy to change a translation digitally. It's hard to reprint what's already been printed. Get like a 1983, 1973, along those lines. NIV, they're solid. You get the modern ones, they actually removed some of the words like the blood of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to keep going after Jesus. Don't be fooled by anybody. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we praise you.